Welcome to these Bible lessons on the Old Testament. In these lessons, we'll cover God's magnificent creation of all the world, including the creation of man, the crown of God's creation. We'll follow with the sad fall of man in paradise and the consequences this brought to the world. In the continuing lessons, we'll teach how God visits men with the revelation of His covenant of grace. When we travel together through the entire Old Testament, we see God visiting His nation of Israel with revelations of this covenant of grace, pointing constantly to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope these lessons are a blessing to you. Thank you.
Welcome to Lesson 45 in our Old Testament Bible History Series. This is about Moses' last days. You can follow along in Deuteronomy 31 through 34. In our story, the Israelites are camped now in the flat fields of Moab, before Mount Nebo, or also called Mount Abarim. Behind them were 40 years of wandering. Before them was the Promised Land. Three powerful enemies had already been defeated, and only a few days remained before they would cross the river. Moses is sitting by himself, alone with his thoughts. Moses remembered what slavery was like in Egypt. He remembered the Exodus. He remembered carrying these people through the wilderness wanderings. He knew that God loved him because it was God who had helped him all these years. God saved him in the Nile River in the basket. God spared him when he was in Pharaoh's palace. God watched over him while he was a shepherd in Midian. Moses did not have hard thoughts about God. And now, Moses knew he was going to die and not enter this promised land. The entire nation of Israel would enter, but not him. It was because of his own sin. Do you remember the time where he had failed to honor God and obey God's command? He was to speak to the rock, and he hid it instead. He disobeyed God. He looked for honor for himself and not for God. Moses felt the seriousness of the punishment. He prayed to God fervently, "I don't deserve to enter the promised land, but thou art a merciful God. Let me cross the river and see the good land on the other side of the Jordan River." The divine reply from God is for Moses to speak no more about this to him. It is final. Moses will not enter. Moses again considers all the events in his life, how God has helped him and protected him. Moses knew God as a loving and a wise father who always knew what was best for his child. Moses got up and he called the people together before the mountain. He repeats the Ten Commandments to the new generation of Israel, and he urges them to be faithful to their covenant promises. The book of Deuteronomy gives us some more details of Moses' speech to the people at this time. Our last lesson covered all the details of his speech to the people. The people were to receive a new leader, Joshua, one of those two faithful spies. The high priest Eleazar prayed for Joshua, and Moses laid his hands on Joshua's head, showing that he was now the leader. He blesses each tribe, and he sings about Israel's blessedness and happiness. He prophesies about the future Messiah, a prophet like himself, but greater than him. Moses then climbed alone up into the mountain, one strong step after another. The people watched him go, and at last he disappeared along the trail. The people remembered that Moses loved them even more than he loved himself. At the top of the mountain, God let Moses see the entire land of Canaan. He saw white houses under the green palm trees. There were hills, fruitful pastures, streams, mountains of Lebanon in the north, and the mountains in the south that they had crossed 40 years before this. He saw a land flowing with milk and honey, and he knew the people of Israel would be happy there. At the word of the Lord, Moses died, and God took him home to heaven, where he still is today. In the last part of this lesson, let's turn to look at how this story of the death of Moses is part of the bigger picture. Remember, the whole Old Testament is a kind of puzzle. And one part of that puzzle is the whole life of Moses. The life of Moses is not the main story, but rather is only part of God's story of showing his own glory. There's no glorious entrance of Moses into the promised land. Rather, Moses dies as a result of his own sin. A new leader is given, Joshua. This also shows us something about God's plan of saving his people, about God's plan of redemption. You know Moses could not lead the people into the promised land. It was going to be Joshua. Joshua's name means Jehovah saves. That is proper, isn't it? It's not Moses who will save them and bring them to safety, but rather it is Jehovah saves, or Joshua. In the New Testament, Moses represents or stands in for the law. When we say that Moses cannot save us, we have this picture in our mind where Moses could not bring them into the promised land. But we also mean that the law, the Ten Commandments, cannot save us. Keeping the law cannot save us. We have broken it with our sin. The law, Moses, cannot save us. We need a Joshua to save us. Joshua brought the people of Israel into the promised land. We need the greater Joshua. We need Jesus Christ. He is able to save us, and he is able to do what the law cannot do. So maybe you think that if the law is not able to save us, then it has no good purpose. It is not useful. No. God gives the law for very good reasons. Everything God gives is good. If we think the law does not have a good purpose, it's our sinful heart and mind that does not understand its good purpose. With this in mind, let's look at the purpose of the law. First, let's read Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Okay, so I understand that by the keeping of the law, I can never be seen as righteous in God's sight. Working hard at keeping the Ten Commandments will never get me to heaven. We have original sin from Adam, but we actually sin ourselves all the time. We'll never be able to keep the law. Let's keep reading from Romans 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay, when we know the law, and we see how we cannot keep any of it, not even a little bit, then we understand how great of a sinner we are. The law shows us we are sinners. Imagine, for a second, you get your face dirty. You can't see your face and have no idea you are dirty. But when you look in the mirror, only then you realize how dirty you are. The purpose of the mirror is to show you your filthiness. The purpose of the law is to show us our sinfulness. What would you do if you looked in a mirror and saw your face was dirty? Well, I trust you would immediately go and wash your face with water. That's kind of the purpose of a mirror, right? You don't keep staring at your dirty face. No, you are showed your need of being washed. And the law also is like a mirror. It teaches us our sinfulness and shows us our need of being washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus, which cleanses from all sin. In Galatians 3, verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. You see, the law shows us our sin, but it does that in order to bring us unto Christ, so that salvation is by faith and not by the works of the law. We see something similar in Romans 3, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. In summary, the law brings the knowledge of sin, shines a light on our need for salvation, and points to the source of that salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well then, perhaps you might think that the law is no longer necessary for a converted Christian if salvation is by faith and not by the deeds of the law. Well, that brings us to the second purpose of the law, because it is always important. In the Apostle Paul's words, the law is holy, just, and good. The law remains a law for believers. The command to be holy, for I am holy, is true for the church today, just as it was for ancient Israel. But the law is kept perfectly through the Lord Jesus. And believers are enabled to keep the law by faith in Jesus Christ. It is important to understand that it is by faith in Jesus Christ that the law is kept. It's also important to understand that a believer brings nothing of themselves to keep this law. We learn in Jeremiah 31, verse 33, that God himself will put his law in a believer's heart. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In summary, the gospel message of salvation by faith does not get rid of the law. No, instead, it fulfills the law. It establishes it. It completes the law. It gives the law its proper value and place. It allows the law to be seen in its proper light. And what is that proper light or proper view? Not as a system of hard rules, but instead as an expression of the blessed covenant relationship between God and his people. In this lesson, we have listened to Moses repeat the law. We have also seen the solemn, sad, but blessed departure of Moses from this life. We have learned again why the law is important. We have learned that the law cannot save us. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can save us. Dear friends, you have now seen 45 lessons of Old Testament history. Do you see the Old Testament puzzle coming together? Have you seen how much of the Old Testament history is fulfilled in the blessed Savior, Redeemer, Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ? He is the exact and perfect image of God, which is constantly being revealed more and more through the Old Testament. Has the Lord blessed His word to your soul? I sincerely hope so. Join us in our next lesson as we join with Israel and follow Joshua into the promised land.